So good. Darling, so good. You can be seated. Let me know what's coming up real soon, like in 2 days or 3 days. 2025. Aren't you excited?
Yeah.
Good, but you know what? After 2025 comes, we don't have any idea what's going to set. We love God and run for pride for Him. Amen. He's driving this bus.
Yeah.
We're trusting Him. Amen. Just so you can, everybody was doing these resolutions, and these are some oldies but goldies, but I want you to look at these so it can help you. I'll figure it out. I'll come across a place that gives you New Year's resolutions that you can keep. How long have you been keeping New Year's resolution? All year long. All right, here it goes. Why not promise to do something you can actually accomplish? Get ready, here it goes. Ready? Gain weight, at least 30 pounds. All right, stop exercising, waste of time. You know I'm lame, y'all, please don't. All right. Read less makes you think. Okay. Procrastinate more starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Create loose ends. These are stuff you can actually accomplish. Amen. Get further in debt. Don't believe politicians. I didn't believe to start with, but I said, all right, don't swim with piranhas or sharks. That's an easy one. Wait for opportunity to knock. Focus on the thoughts of others, and never make New Year's resolutions again. Can we all keep these?
Yeah.
All right. So this is me now. Ready? 2021. I said I'll get down my weight below 180 pounds. In 2022, I said I will follow my new diet religiously until I get below 200 pounds. 2023, I will develop a realistic attitude about my weight. 2024, I'll work out 3 days a week. 2025, I'll try to drive past the gym at least once a week. My goal for 2025 is to accomplish the goal set in 2024, which I should have done in 2023 because I promised it in 2022 and planned to do it in 2021. Now, this looks like a joke at the bottom, but guess what? We've all got some of those. Amen. Have we all got some of the again? Well, we ain't glad we're praised. It all was great. You know, get Lord, I ain't glad we're praised. So now, this whole we're going to do 12-step programming later, all right? Start with, the Lord showed me this year, 2025, is the year to stop excuses. Now, there's a difference in excuse and an actual reason, okay? You get called into work on Sunday morning and don't come to church because you got called into work. That's a reason. If you just get up and go, well, I don't feel so hot today. Hey, don't go up to church. You go, that was a reason, but then as soon as 12 o'clock comes, you're at McDonald's. That was more of an excuse. Matter of fact, I was thinking about this and talking to someone the other day, and the word language was hearing on Fox about Generation X and how Generation X is not even preparing for the workforce. When they get there, they don't know how to handle themselves, and they can't communicate with people, you know, they're stuck on their phones all the time. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that honestly, all of us in some ways have gotten soft. I mean, Generation Z, DC would show me. No, you, which one are you, DC? You're Generation X. Okay, Generation Z. I get all mixed up with all of them. DC said, no, 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 Dad. I thought he was doing Mark Mazzola. His New Year's resolution has become more like Zorro.
Good.
Generation Z. Okay. So now, in my mind, we've actually, a lot of people, especially since COVID, have gotten kind of soft. I'm not talking about this way. I'm talking about this way and this way. And so things that before COVID that we would never even let be a reason now has become an excuse because we've gotten soft. And so Jesus Christ is coming back. God has really blessed us, and I'm amazed that I believe God's given this country another chance to go and get it right. But if we're going to get it right, we've got to let go of the excuses.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to go. Reasons can stay, excuses have got to go. And whenever you start to do something, I promise you, Satan's going to try to stop you. And he's going to give you every excuse in the book. And you got to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give you wisdom to discern between a reason and an excuse. Okay? And if it's an excuse, throw it away. If it's a reason, then you have to embrace it. So somebody else was just telling me, Generation Z. Okay, thank you. At least we know somebody's watched.
Right.
Oh, they said they're Generation Z. They appreciate it. Okay. It ain't gone good. All right. So we have to, this year coming up, remember, this is our opportunity. We have to get past excuses. Get past it. You'll see, up here, there's no excuse, and on the way to no excuses, there's all kinds of excuses. They just branch out. Excuses are everywhere. So we have to stop excuses. So, and I'm going to get some, I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to pull out scripture in just a second. Let's just pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and well, and you're on the throne.
Yeah.
Help us, God, to be ready for what's coming. Help us to be ready, Lord. We know, God, that your coming is very, very near. And, God, you're trying to help us to get aligned with you. You're trying to put it out there, but it's up to us to accept because you're a perfect gentleman. You don't make us. Only Satan makes us. You give us the opportunity and help us, Lord, to take the opportunity presented before us in the name of Jesus the Christ. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. So here we go. This is kind of an all over the place beginning. Starting this week is going to probably be a little bit more focused in one area, but I just want to get something started here. No more excuses. The Bible word of this time is excuses. The kingsmen were behind their time when they started singing excuses. Some ought to put it back out, report it again, because it would be a number one hated song. My church folk. Number one hated song. Hey, you get me? All right. So, in a time when we need people, listen carefully, to step up, get up to the plate, ask God to use us, and to take up responsibility, and to actually make a difference, instead, the world and the church, many in the church world, the world instead steps back to give up their responsibility, and they just live on excuses. Now, years ago, the Lord let me come run across something that actually just slapped me in the mouth, and I'm just going to put this up here and let you just look at it for a minute. Can you read it? Excuses are the nails used to build a house of failure. I saw this in my early 20s. And every time I find myself trying to make an excuse, I'm 65 now, and every time I find myself coming up with an excuse versus a reason, that hits me right between the eyes every time. Excuses are the nails used to build a house of failure. If you can think of anything else this whole year, especially starting out, I want you to get that in your spirit. Because it is so important. So now, the question is, how do we get past our excuses? What steps should we take? And David's just going to talk about the first step of getting past our excuses. And the very first step, of course, is, listen carefully, focus on what you can do instead of what you can do. Unless God blessed me with a miracle and the New York, New Jersey Nets, whoever the Nets go with now, or the, you know, some basketball team, professional basketball team, the guy's gotten blind and crazy and calls me today, I will never be a center for professional basketball. Never. Not now. There was a time, well, not even then. So I can focus on what I can't do. I can't be a center for basketball team. Oh, God, I can't make it. I asked all the time, told me, we went to the doctor today, and they told me all the things I could no longer eat, and they put a list up there, and I read the hospital was so bad for them. I can't even do this anymore, and I read the list, and I said, you don't need this stuff to start with. I said, well, I was thinking about trying some. So instead of focusing on what you can't do, focus on what you can do. We can't all sing, we can't all play, we can't all lay bread, we can't all do medical work, we can't all talk to people in the forefront and to be in the back, wherever. Find a way to focus on what you can do, not what you can't do, and then develop it. Focus on what you do have instead of what you don't have. You know, if we would start focusing on what we got, what we can do, what we have, and then use that for God's glory, God will expand it. But if all we do is focus on what we don't have and what we can't do, then God's not going to expand it because we have dropped the ball. I love this song. My favorite Christmas song of all times. Who wants to know your favorite Christmas song? Somebody tell me your favorite Christmas song. That's a good one. Anybody else? That's great. Anybody else? Huh? Silent Night. My mom used to say, can y'all do Silent Night tonight? And we start singing, she said, no, that's not what I'm saying. Can you boys be silent tonight? My favorite of all time is the Little Drummer Boy. I'm going to take that song. I've used it before. I'm going to take this song and I'm going to show you something. And the Little Drummer Boy started out one way and went another way and shows us how we could do this year. Get ready. Bless his little heart. He looks like DC or Daniel, don't he? When they were little playing drums. Poor Daniel, when he started playing drums, his feet wouldn't even touch the pedals. Had to put him on the seat. He would play, he'd play his heart out, they never hit that bass drum. Are you ready? Come, they told me, pa rumble bum bum. A newborn king to see, pa rumble bum bum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa rumble bum bum. To lay before the king, pa rumble bum bum. Rumble bum bum, pa rumble bum bum. To honor him, pa rumble bum bum, when we come. Now here's the little boy. Get ready. He says, baby Jesus, pa rumble bum bum. I'm a poor boy, too, pa rumble bum bum. Now he's focusing on what he don't have, and he's focusing on himself. Says, I have no gift to bring, pa rumble bum bum. Now he's focusing on what he's got, or what he doesn't have. And it's fit to give a king what he's got to give if he don't think it's any good. So, he actually is like the rest of us at times. We look at what God wants us to do, we think we can't do this because we're not able. We got nothing. God can't use me. I've messed up too much. I've been too bad. I don't have anything to give God. Well, the little drummer boy had to come to Jesus meeting because he kept on going. And when he got there, he said, shall I play for you, rum-bum-bum, on my drum? You see, now he focuses on what he's got. He's focusing on what he can do. And Mary knocked, rub a bum bum, the oxen lamb kept time, rub a bum bum. What he does is noticed. I played my drum for him, rub a bum bum. I played my best for him, rub a bum bum, rub a bum bum, bum bum bum. I did it with all my heart, me and my drum, and it pleased God. To begin with, he focuses on what he don't have, and then he focuses on what he's got. And it is amazing the difference with that little drummer boy. God was teaching me something way on back then that I didn't even understand. Now, I got the word here, but I'm going to go ahead and put it up so y'all can see. Do y'all know who this is? This is Mary. If you can read this, if you can't read this, turn to Mark chapter 14. Verses 1 through 9, this New Living Translation here. Mark chapter 14, if you can't see this, it's Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Verse 1, and now, it was now 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread, and the leading priests and teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, the man who previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from an essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume? They asked. It could have been sold for year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. Now, Judas was the one leading this charge. And Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you. You have to keep them whenever you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. Y'all say this. She has done what she could. And has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, the woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Now let's just talk about this woman for a minute. Get ready. She recognized her opportunity. Some of y'all today, I'm not trying to be doomy and gloomy, but some of y'all today, this is your opportunity. Some of you today, maybe not out here, maybe just watching Facebook. For some of y'all, this may be your last opportunity. Be real. And for some of you today, this may be your greatest opportunity. So think about all these things. We think, oh, it's going to be again next week. Brother David will be there next week. They'll be in there playing next week. And we're going to have church next week. What if everything was gone next week? For praying for that young man, they had no idea that they were going to be hit by another driver across the LA. You never know these things. I'm sure that EMS, y'all EMS guys, y'all pick up guys all the time and gals, they had no idea they were having a heart attack that day, or that they were having a stroke, or that somebody was going to be diagnosed with cancer, and now you're out there all the time trying to pump them back up because they keep going down so low. We don't understand all the time, so like I said, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but we don't understand. Sometimes our opportunities we miss because we don't realize it could be the greatest opportunity, or I pray not, but it could be your last opportunity. So now, she recognized this opportunity and took what she had to bless Jesus. She didn't know that she was anointing him for his burial. She didn't realize all the ramifications of what she was doing. Some people, when the opportunity comes, make excuses. Here's some excuses I hear all the time. They think of what they would do, to think of what they would do. Life is overshadowed by what if I had this certain talent, if I had this skill, if I had this ability. Man, oh man, but I'll be used by God. And God's saying, I want you to take what I've given you and use it to the best of your ability for me.
Yeah.
And I will increase whatever you do. Or withhold what little bit you got in your eyes. And it'll become even less. So, some of the excuses are to think, they're not ready, they're not prepared. Some complain about what others do. The disciples were complaining. Their life also is overshadowed by why them? Another excuse is to complain about what others don't do. If they're not going to do anything, I'm not going to do anything. Really? Really? So if they're not going to do anything, I'm not going to do anything. That is not how to have your life. Your life is overshadowed by, why doesn't someone else do it? She recognized her opportunity, and she took advantage of it. Let's just talk about it a little bit. She recognized it. She recognized that she couldn't do all, but she could do something. Amen? She couldn't do all, but she could do something. So instead of excuses, she did something. I challenge you this week. I challenge you. God challenges me to this all the time. I get these challenges. God told me I would never live an unchallenged life. He's letting me know that. And I'm grateful for that because I get bored if I'm not being challenged. God is challenging this church together. He's challenging this church individually to look at what you can do and know you can't do it all, but you can do something. See, excuses, let's go ahead. Instead of excuses, this woman did something. Watch this. First, she sought out of her best. This alabaster box of spike bar. Not very many people had this commodity in their house. If they had it, it was a symbol of power, symbol of influence. It's something that everybody would strive to have. It's sort of like having a Cadillac back in that day. A fancy car back in that day. This alabaster box, they would take it was sealed, and they would put it up, and they would never even open it. Wow. So they would take it, and they'd put it up, but she took it, and she counted the cost. This spikenard cost a year's salary. The average year's salary back in that day was 300 denarii. And she counted it out, a year's salary. She's got it up there for everybody to see, this nice status symbol, this alabaster box. And then, so she sold it out. She counted it out, the cost. And then she gave it out freely. She broke it. Whoa! She broke the alabaster box. And the disciples, how dare her? She could have taken an alabaster box to the market and got money and went and helped the poor. But she broke it. And she poured it on Jesus. Wow, how dare her? His own disciples didn't even recognize. They were with him 24/7. They heard him. They knew what he was going through. But they still didn't know what he was going through. They heard what he told them what was going to happen, and they still didn't know what was going to happen. So, she recognized she couldn't do it all, but she could do something, and she did. And it made not only the religious folks mad, it made the church folks mad. Remember, if you're on the road to no excuses, look at all the stops along the way. These EMS guys in here, when y'all on the way to a fire or on the way to pick up somebody, do you say, you know what, I haven't had a drink today. I think I'll pull over and get me a Pepsi. Y'all say, well, you know what? I want a honey bun too. How do I get me a honey bun while I get there? I'll monitor the radio, make sure they didn't die before we get there. Because straight. No excuses, straight. Even if they've had no sleep, if they're exhausted, if they're not feeling good, they still go straight. While those people are running away, they're running to it. And they've got my honest, they've got my respect 100% because they run to what other people run from. And sometimes at the cost of their own life. So now, she did what she could do to get ready while she could do it. She had no idea that Jesus, this would be his last trip. Excuses paralyze us. Excuses paralyze our gifts. Did you know that? Excuses paralyze our talents. Excuses paralyze our church. So not only does excuses paralyze your gifts, your talents, your ability, it also leads to procrastination. So, we talked about some of the excuses. Let's talk about some signs that you may be having some excuses paralyzation in your life and some excuse procrastination. Some are going to do something. Look at this. Three signs that you got this. Some are going to do something. Number one, sometime. Sometime. Well, you know what? I noticed some spider webs in the corner, and I wish somebody would notice them besides me, because I've seen 3 weeks in a row. Let me say that sitter. Do you know, I'm out of a cup, turned over on the front run. I wish somebody would see it, come clean that mess up. There's nobody here. Won't you know, God will sometime. Ecclesiastes 11:4, he that deserveth the wind will not sow. He that watches what's going around in him is not going to reap. There's some tomorrow. Matthew 6:33-34 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and take no thought about all this other stuff. You think about God first. Doesn't mean not to do your stuff, but it means to put God in first position. And then some are waiting for the right time. But you know what? I would get those spider webs out in the corner, but it's just not the right time. Well, sometime I'll go find the broom. Maybe I'll get it next tomorrow. I'll get it next week. Well, it's just not the right time for me, you know, getting the spider webs out of the corner. Maybe they should hire somebody. And God's looking down and saying, is my house important to you? Remember Procter & Gamble? That place was always, you could get on the floor. No matter what department you went in, they made Pampers, they made Attends, they made Always. They made mini pads, they made maxi pads, and then they even had some other things that they made, and you could always get on the floor in that place. Always. And one day I was talking to a big wig, and I always pick up trash when I walk through. And I was talking to the biggest wig in the bunch. And so I looked down and saw that he says, I need your attention. So I'm trying to listen to him. I've got my pen and my notebook, and I'm listening. He said, I need your attention. I look on the floor, and I see some trash on the floor. And it was in me as usual, stop and pick it up. But he just said, I need your attention. And so I saw that trash in the floor. And I had to sit back and hold myself because I knew that's what I always pick it up. I didn't that day. And so I said, okay. He goes, hold on just a second. And he reached down in front of me and picked up that trash. The biggest wig in the planet. And I was going to pick it up sometime. But he walked with me. But he hadn't said, focus on me. I was waiting for the right time. And he just said, stop. And reached out and picked it up. And I felt about that tall. God's watching us. And this last day, are we going to live on excuses? Or are we going to get past our excuses? And then God do something special with us. What would you say? I'm going to drop that. So here she is. She takes that spike bar. She cracks it open. 300 denarii, a full year's wage. And she pours it on Jesus. Notice she poured on it. She wipes it with her hair. Wow. As he reclined at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of ointment, very costly nard, pure nard, and she broke the alabaster flask and poured it over his head, and it run down. Now, Jesus recognized the timing because he said, she's done this for my burial. He knew this was his last time through. We didn't, they didn't, but they did, he did. How many times have you said, if I'd known that was going to be the last time I saw them, I'd have treated them better. If I knew it was the last time I was going to see them, or the last time this was going to happen, I'd have done things different. Jesus knew, and she took advantage of the opportunity, a very costly opportunity. He rebuked her critics. He recognized her effort. And he rewarded her sacrifice. He says, from here out all over the world, this act is going to be known. And it was all over. Now, DC, come on up here. Bring your spike, Lord. A year of getting past excuses. Luke 9:62. I was trying to find a good scripture here. And this is the scripture that just kept sticking out, so I put it here. Some may think this will apply, some may not, and it's fine. But in my heart it does. Luke 9:62, Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back as fit for service in the kingdom of God. Does it say, anybody puts their hand on the plow and looks back is going to go to hell? That's not what it says. It means you're not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Put your hand on the plow indicates you're doing work. If anybody's ever plowed before, you got to stay straight. You got to stay in mark. You got to stay straight. Always. If it curves around the hill, you got to curve right with it. You got hundreds of rows that you got to keep lining just like that. And so while you're working that plow, those guys back then had oxen and they did it by hand. It was hard work. And if they turned around, the rows would be like this. and be unable to be used. Now, there was roads there, but they couldn't be used. That's the same way with excuses. You put your hand to the plow, trying to get something done, and you start making excuses for everything. And it's like looking back, because now the roads are not straight. They're starting and stop, starting and stop. Some got rain on, some don't. Some been planted, some of them haven't, because of excuse after excuse after excuse. And we can excuse ourselves right out of service for God. We're still going to heaven. But that's a reward we get at the end. Not going to be the same. This week's challenge. Look around you. If I could go back 40 years and walk down the Pampers line with Big Big, I'll reach across and say, excuse me, just stick. And I'll reach down and I'll pick them up, baby. Because after that, nobody stopped. I didn't get off my truck, but I was on the truck, driving the truck, whatever. I'll stop and get out and I'll pick it up. Because I said, that'll never happen again. And as far as I know, it had. They were walking down Walmart, my food line. I see somebody, I was in food line today. And the guy reached up to get something and knocked over stuff in the floor. And his wife said, pick that stuff up. I was right behind him. And he goes, why? They got me high. He walked off after he knocked him down. As he walked around, I reached out and picked it up and put it back up so nobody trip on it. Just the other day, walking through Walmart, I picked up a little bottle so I could step on a broken leg. I saw it, I could have kicked it wherever. But no, I was going, God showed me the opportunity. I'm going to take it. And I picked it up. And in the same way, ministry, that's ministry too. All kinds of ministry opportunities. God, help me. Help me. Here it is. This is your week's challenge. Be quick. Take responsibility instead of coming up with excuses. I think it was Abraham Lincoln said a man who's good at making excuses is very seldom good at anything else. Abraham Lincoln said, a man that's good at making excuses is usually seldom good. I didn't say it wrong. A man who's good at making excuses seldom is good at anything else. So, this week, be quick, take responsibility. Everybody stand up. Go ahead and stand up. Come closer anyway. Come on, stand up. Be quick to take responsibility instead of finding excuses. Now, reasons are okay. There's a difference in a reason and an excuse. That day when I walked down Proctor Gamble, if I've been driving on the freeway, we were going 60 miles an hour, and I saw a piece of trash, and there's 50 cars behind me, and me stopping is going to cause a problem. So that's a reason. Walking that day, even with the big man, I could have picked it up. Understand? So be quick, take responsibility versus finding excuses. Begin to see problems as opportunities. I talked to somebody yesterday. He said, man, he said, I'm trying to help my family. They've all got, my daddy's sick. Trying to help him, and I got a brother that's having problems trying to help him, and now I've gotten sick. And so I'm trying to help them. I'm sick too. And I've been asking God, I don't understand it. I don't want help and I don't understand it. And I said, well, how about change the way you look at it? Instead of looking at it as a problem, look at it as an opportunity. Number one, for God to show you his power. Number two, to show others that you're not going to let some of this stuff get you down and you'll keep on going. And then think of it as, if you look at it instead of problems, but opportunity, then think of it as a divine assignment. And when we hung up, he was totally there. He said, thank you. Again, see problems as opportunities. This week, now look, and build another excuse attitude. No excuse. Again, there's a difference in a reason and an excuse. I had a guy, my boss man was a captain. He was trained at West Point. And one day, the machine, all these machines, robotic machines and stuff, one had gone down and took 10 people to take the place of that machine. And my boss, the media boss, wouldn't let me work on it, but had me help one of the 10 people. I was one of the 10 people. And when my main boss come down and saw I was not working on it, didn't have a meter or working on anything, I was helping the 10 people do what this machine did. He came and looked at me and said, what are you doing? And I said, what I'm told. He said, didn't I tell you that you're to keep this machine, these machines running? And I said, but my media boss said, you help these 10 people. And he said, you know what he said? No excuses. No excuses. No excuses. And I said, wait a minute. This is not an excuse. This is the reason. He still said, no excuses. No excuses. And finally, he got some good training and quit that. I was so glad when he got that good training. So there's a difference in a reason and excuse. This build another excuse attitude. And this week, make a new effort to put your hand on his plow and keep moving forward. Watch what God will do with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God has given us a tremendous opportunity. If we're going to take advantage of this opportunity, we can't be armchair quarterbacks. We got to get the game. And when there's something that's going to stop you from getting in the game, something this week, everybody's hitting about every eye's closed, everybody looking around. This week, if there's something that keeps you from getting in the game, that keeps you from doing whatever the assignment for that day is, I want you to stop and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is that a reason or an excuse? If it's a reason, then ask God to help in this thing. But if it's an excuse, push it aside. Keep on going. God's got so much for us to do. This church has got so much. We're to be a lighthouse in this community, a lighthouse. Our families need us to be a lighthouse. We visited the lighthouse, and the old lighthouse keepers, they had to keep it going. They couldn't stop. They had to keep the lighthouse going. No excuse. Keep the lighthouse going. Because people's lives were at stake. This lighthouse, we got to keep it going. because lives are at stake. Every head bowed, every eye closed, but if you're here today, you'll say, wow, I'm going to do something, I'm going to get involved, but me and God, we're not on speaking terms right now. I'm really not close to what I should be with God. I want to get that changed. I believe God, I want to take this new year in. Me and God on the same page, his page. God, do something special with me. If you're here and you're not where you're supposed to be with God, where you need to be with God, I don't have to come pull a list out for you. No, you know. But no matter looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, but you put that hand up and say, I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I should be with God. Touch him right now, God. Touch him in a very powerful way. Maybe you're here because of circumstances, because of COVID and all these other things. You find it easier sometimes to just grab that excuse. And where you used to not have any excuses, now there's plenty. And you're ready for God to help you get beyond those excuses and make these last years really, really count for God. I mean, really count for God. Nobody look around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up and say, help me, God. Help me, God. Move past these excuses. Move past them. Move past them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless me. We're all going to pray together. Let's all pray together. Father, I love you. I praise you, man. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and I thank you, God, that you have no excuses. God, my Heavenly Father, help me to live beyond excuses. And I thank you for it. This year is a year of opportunity. Help me step into the opportunity versus him on the road to opportunity versus the closet of excuses. With your power and your anointing, we can do this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God's got you. Look, somebody say, God's got you. All right, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, Brother Wayne, I want you to dismiss this prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us.
Father God, we thank you for another time to come to that house and hear thy words, Father, spoken into our hearts. Take the message, Lord, that's been presented to us, Lord. Let's go out this year, this year, Lord. Put all excuses to the side, Father. Put you first. We do this, Lord. Excuses will not come. We won't have opportunities, Father. Let us remember one thing. Give us all the power to do these things. Challenge us, people. We want you to let's accept these challenges, Lord. Praise and glory. In your Son, Jesus Christ, that in service. This is all things to ask in your holy name.
Amen.
I'm not leaving. 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 I'